Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm your host, Brian Keane, best-selling author of the book, The Fitness Mindset and Rewire Your Mindset, here to help you by deconstructing expert guests on all things health, fitness and mindset. Today's guest is Carol Henry. Carol's second appearance on the podcast. A lot of you will be familiar with Carol from either the first time on the podcast back in July 2018, feels like forever ago, for this long overdue round two. But Carol is the leading fitness expert on RT1's Operation Transformation. So a lot of you will be familiar with his work either through social media, through mainstream media and television online, or his appearances on radio or his podcast, The Real Health Podcast with Carol Henry. Today's episode is a very timely episode because of the craziness and uncertainty that looks like is going to be part of our existence and part of our life for the next 12 months. So in today's episode, we're going to talk about how to look after your mental health and physical well-being during COVID-19. So we talk about the power of healthy to-do lists, how to stay motivated in times of uncertainty, how to keep weight loss simple. So one of the things I love the most about Carol's content is he keeps things very, very simple. So not overcomplicating things, focusing on moving more healthy food. So how to keep weight loss simple if that's your goal. On top of that, we talk about practical tips to stay on top of your physical health and your mental well-being over COVID-19, regardless of what level you're at. Even though I know people all over the world are listening to this podcast, for those in Ireland and the UK with the different level systems, it will hopefully help regardless of where that goes in terms of taking back control and things that you can positively affect and letting go of the things that you can't. And we also talk about jumping in and out of some stories from the cycle race around Ireland that Carol did, some of the lessons and mindset tips that he learned from not quitting, having not been able to finish, or DNF is another term we use a couple of times in this podcast when we're talking about races. DNF means did not finish, and some of the things he's learned over the years and is the power of having a why when it comes to setting any goal for yourself. So we jump back and forth with a lot of different things with a heavy focus on keeping a positive mental attitude and looking after your mental health and physical well-being during COVID-19. So without further ado, here's today's episode with Carol Henry. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm delighted to be joined today with my guest, Carol Henry. Carol is the leading expert on RTE1's Operation Transformation, author of the book, Carol Henry's Healthy Living Handbook, and is one of Ireland's top personal training transformation specialists. This is a long overdue second round of the podcast. Carol's first appearance was in July 2018 on podcast 165, where we talked about personal training, dealing with negativity, and seeing the positive in everything. More recently, I was on his killer podcast, Real Health with Carol Henry, talking about how to banish the belly fat. I'm looking forward to catching up and talking all things health, fitness and mindset in today's episode. Carol, welcome back to the podcast.
I can't believe it's been 2 years. That's bonkers. That makes me feel very old. It's gone by so quickly. How are you? How's it going?
I am fantastic. As we were saying just before we went on air, I've had a great couple of months. Everybody's been doing healthy and everyone's well, which is the most important thing. How about you? How have you been over these last few months? It's been a crazy 6 or 7 months.
It's been an incredible time. It's unprecedented. It's been a time where it's forced everyone, I think, to have a look at their life a little bit and to adapt their life a little bit and also figure out what's important to them. For me personally, it's been good. I was doing some online one-on-one training before COVID kicked in at a handful of clients, and now all my PT is online and it's flat out. And then our corporates, all my corporate work, where normally I'd be traveling to companies or whatever for that, that's all done through Zoom. All this, and we've actually increased the quantity of that we do, and the type of product that we offer has expanded. So it's been a stressful couple of months, I think, because people are worried, there's stresses at certain times. From a business perspective, the first week of COVID, I took off. I kind of sat back and assessed the business in terms of how we operated and what I wanted to try and do, and thankfully that's worked out really well. And I've really enjoyed being at home. I've never been home as much as I have been. I work from home now full time, and I've never been home as much. And it's just lovely to be home and see my friends and my family and all of that, which is great, you know?
Yeah, I love that. And we're definitely going to dive into mental health and physical health around COVID, because you put out loads of great content on this through your Instagram and through the podcast, like the podcast especially, because you have such a wide range of guests that come on talking everything in terms of overall health. But before we do that, I want to start on the thing that I love most about your Instagram page. And I think it's so applicable now, given the uncertainty is the right word, because this podcast is going out, you know, a couple of weeks after we record it, and things are changing so quickly. It's the 7th of October now, and it's going out in the next couple of weeks, so who knows what level, etc., we'll be at, particularly in Ireland. But one of the things that I love is your healthy to-do list, something that keeps people focused on what can I do, what can I control that's going to make me feel better. Can you talk to us a little bit about your healthy to-do list?
Yeah, it's the funniest thing. They've become I was on radio earlier on in the week, and on Radio 1, and the presenter brought that up as well. And everywhere I go, every interview I do, people bring it up. And I'm like, it's just me being me. On a personal level, I'm a bit like that. I like to list stuff, and I like to put plans together and just try and get through it each week. And it all stemmed from there. So basically, if people haven't seen them, it's very simple. Every Sunday night at 8:30, I pop up a list and kind of give you just a little bit of a steer on, you know, try and do this each week, this week, and see if you get through between now and next Sunday. And it just gathered momentum. I'm like, you know, you have a far bigger online profile than I have. I'm learning my way all the way through it. But it was just something different that nobody else was doing. And I was like, well, this is genuine original content, but it's also my type of content, because that's what I do. And it just gathered momentum, and it's become a thing now. So in terms of once they go up, there's a kind of a community built around it now. And if I'm even 1 minute late, people get on to me saying, oh, where's your list? You're not putting it up. So in terms of the kind of stuff on it, there's generally three food things, three movement things, and then a whole lot of lifestyle stuff. So the lifestyle stuff could be something really silly, but actually quite important, like smile more. It used to be hug more, but that's gone, obviously, with COVID. The old hugging is not quite the thing to do. It's not over. It's not social distanced. there was sex on there at one stage, and people went mental for that because no one talks about sex. And they're like, oh, you can't mention it. Well, why can't you? It's normal. There's nothing wrong with it. So it's each week there has to be something kind of funny in there to make people look at it, say, you know, take a second to look at it a couple of times. But everything sticks back to they will improve your health in some way, shape, or form. And it's a very simplified version of trying to get a message out around how to get people healthier. And people think they take snapshots, they're the screensavers, they print them off for their office, they send them around to their colleagues. And it's just lovely. It's a really nice little thing. And I've been really, social media, I suppose I was late enough to it. So I was, not that I was unsure of it, but I was saying, what is the benefit here in terms of what I can do? And it really, along with the Q&As that I do on Instagram, it's really worked really well. And interestingly, with COVID, in the last, say, 4 weeks, I've stopped posting it on Twitter. So I only post it on Instagram because Twitter's become a really weird, argumentative, negative space full of a lot of cowards hiding behind pseudonames who are... It's just become a horrible space, and so I've stopped posting it there because I just don't need the negativity in my life. So it's on Instagram solely now, and yeah, it's funny. And for just people listening in, like it's something that people have latched onto, and from a media perspective, it's something that has been created from nada. So it's a really interesting way. If you are on social media and you are getting your platforms up and running, it shows you that kind of organic content, if you get it right, people are aware of it, and the media become aware of it, and it becomes like a thing, which is really interesting in its own right, you know.
But it's very unique. Like it's what I love about it is the Einstein quote, genius in simplicity. Like it's a simple to-do list with things that anybody can do. And I think that's why it jumps out so much. Is there anyone in particular, apart from the sex, obviously, which I'm like, yeah, I'm a big advocate of. I'm like, yeah, go have as much as you can, especially during any sort of semi-lockdown or quarantine state with your loved ones. Loved ones, your partner, hopefully. But any other one jump out in particular that you were getting very positive feedback from?
The hug one is always funny. The random act of kindness one works really well. I did one just after the Kildare was announced into lockdown. That Sunday I put one up saying, you know, as part of your random act of kindness this week, buy something from a company in Kildare. And people went mental. Like Ryan Tuberty called it out. Claire Byrne called it out. There was on News Talk. It just took up massive traction because people, they're like, oh, that's a really nice, and that's really healthy. It's really good for your health to give something back and help other people out. That's a different slant on health, if you like. but it's actually really important. And the random acts of kindness ones always go down really well, and people are surprised at how good they feel when they do something simple like that. And that could be, you know, that could be paying for someone at the toll bridge, paying for the car behind you randomly, just as something nice to do, or it could be in a shop or holding a door open, or it's just a small little gesture that brightens up somebody's day, and as a result of that, it brightens up your day. So that one, that one always, people love that one when it's posted. They really do. Which is again really interesting to see. What else? Tech-free bedroom. People hate that one because it's hard. We're all addicted to our phones. And if you've seen that Netflix documentary, it's the social. Oh, it's on at the minute. It's not the social document.
Is it?
That's the one. Yeah. So like, phones are harder to put down than ever. So tech-free bedroom is a big challenge for people, but it will improve your sleep. And, you know, you talk about sleep all the time, so we know how important that is. So it's got to be, every week it's got to be something funky. There has to be at least one thing in there. And interestingly, what you can kind of use it to reflect on the week as well. So when a certain politician fell off a swing in somewhere in Dublin, she tried to sue the premises for falling off a swing. On that week's to-do list was, you know, don't get on a swing. And so you can use it as a kind of sense of almost looking back at the week, and you can tie it in with something kind of funny, but actually, which is kind of important too, which is, it's nice to have a little bit of crack with that too.
Yeah, I love that. It's so good. And one of the things that came across the first podcast, and that's when I started to really dive into your content, Instagram and the podcast in particular, is the positivity you put out. You can see it, hear it in your voice, see it in your content. But you mentioned, say, the Twitter negativity, and I'm very curious to hear your thoughts on this, because even on your Instagram today, I think one of your posts to make your life happier was to learn to unfollow people, which I think is a very, very good tip in terms of what you're consuming on social media. Do you think that the mental health side of things is as or more important than even the physical health standpoint when it comes to, particularly now with the kind of craziness of the times, or what are your kind of thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think mental health's never been more important. I think it's never been challenged more than ever before. Certainly not in our lifetime, or you're in my lifetime. It hasn't. So I think, where do you begin with that? So for me, I spend a lot, as you do, you spend a lot of time on social media. Twitter has become a horrible place, like a really nasty.
Yeah, it's a cesspool. It's a cesspool of negativity. Yeah.
And like, it's one thing having a pop at someone, that's fine. You can kind of take that on the chin if someone has a pop at you about something that's, you know, that is actually something that is actually almost discussable, right? But when someone's having a pop at you who's hiding behind a pseudonym and they're just literally there to cause aggro. And about 3 weeks ago, my wife said, look, you really don't need this. Like, you're working flat out. Your job is to be the happy person that people say. And I was like, you know, that actually makes a lot of sense. Now, I've worked hard to build it up. I've nearly 30,000 on it in terms of followers. So I've worked really hard to get that. But then I was like, you know what? I actually don't. So two things. One, I just stopped pretty much posting. I post on it very rarely now. And two is, I apply the block button very liberally. Anyone who, if I don't want to hear it, I just block them. And I just get on with it. And it makes my day much happier. So I do think, from a mental health perspective, I think social media is a really good place to start. And it's following accounts and people that improve your life and make you feel better. And I think generally, mental health is, it's just going to be, the darker it gets and the more we head into winter, the more uncertainty we have, the tougher it's going to be. So it's tying that in with that social media component of the people you surround yourself with on a daily basis, in terms of within your county, and then depending when the podcast goes out, depending what the levels are up, but doing your best from that perspective, and then also moving. I think this is now not the time for, you know, the super body blast stuff, or the you know, trying to sign up to a really intense, difficult thing. It's movement for, you're moving for survival. You're moving for mental wellness and physical wellness and emotional wellness. And it's getting any movement into your day, whether that's a gym session, whether it's doing a gym workout online, or whether it's in a run or whatever. It's getting out. And, you know, you live in a beautiful part of the world. You're up in Connemara. I live in North County Dublin, with tractors and farms and sheep and cows and stuff. Just getting out and looking at something that is not social media and that is not in your four walls inside your house is incredibly powerful for your mental health. And I think health and fitness has become you're trying to be healthy to survive now. It's really come to that, that we are so challenged that movement and health is going to be, it's survival is the real reason that you need to be doing it. And if, you know, if you lose a bit of weight in the meantime, great. If you drop your body fat, great. But it's actually, you're just moving to stay well and to stay mentally well.
Do you think people confuse health and fitness? It's something I've been reflecting on recently. I'm curious just even your thoughts on it.
I do. So yeah, I totally do, right? So health and fitness can be addictive. I've certainly gone through bouts of it. But when I was younger, I was into Ironman triathlons. I was totally addicted to gym, my big, massive cycles and runs and swims and whatever. Now I run marathons and I do long, you know, I've done races in Ireland. I do big, long stuff still, but it's a bit more balanced. So I think health and fitness for it, it's all relative to the person. So for me, as I get older, I'm 38, I'm nearly 39, it's about wellness and it's about being well and it's about feeling really good and it's about, you know, doing big events and stuff every now and again, but balancing them out. And I think that's what it means to me, right? So, and people who generally follow me, that's what it generally seems to mean to them. Like if someone wants to get to 10% body fat, they don't follow me because that's not what I do. I have no interest in it. I admire people who do it. But on a personal, as a brand perspective, my niche is certainly not that. It's broader than that. And I think people can confuse health and fitness. I think that obsession side of it, it flips health and fitness into something very different. And it's, you know, and you see that every now and again. I got an email from someone the other day who was looking to come on the podcast and just reading their email, it was just obsession written all over it. It was like they, you know, and it was flipping their life from a really negative space to a really uber super positive space. And it was replacing one obsession with another. And that's certainly not a healthy obsession. So I think health and fitness can be confused. I think it's important to identify, you know, what does it mean? What does it mean for you? What does it do for you? And if you're a personal trainer listening in to this episode, from a business perspective, it's even more important because you need to identify what your business does. And what's part of the market that health that your health and fitness or your type of it fits in. I think that's really important too. But for me, it's all about survival and getting people to survive healthier. And like that Instagram post you chatted about from last night was 10 things on that. And it was just getting a sense from people, chatting to friends, chatting to clients, just looking out. People are really, after the weekend that we've had where the uncertainty around level 3, level 5, people were really in a bad place. And I was trying to say to people, you know what, it's okay. It's all right. We're going to get through this. Here's some really simple tips that I've learned from 20 years of doing what I do that might actually help you a little bit. And of all the stuff I've ever posted, I think we probably got the biggest response ever last night to all of that. It was mental for about an hour or two, but it was nice because that's for me is that's health and fitness. That's people feeling better and people feeling that they can get through this by getting a walk done, by doing a session online, by doing whatever. But it's using your health and fitness to get through very challenging times, which we're unfortunately only going to be faced with for the foreseeable.
And I think one of the beauties of fitness is it's something that's very much in your control, like home workouts, HIIT workouts, going for a walk, going for a run, getting out in nature, all of that, moving more, like you said, Carol, like that's all fitness, but that's within your control. And I think in a time of uncertainty, taking the things and focusing on the things in your control is going to make you feel a lot more empowered. And I think that's a very positive message that you're putting out there. I'm curious from the wellness standpoint, because you mentioned there about when you did the longer cycles, the Ironman triathlon, etc. What do you do for your own personal wellness now versus something that you didn't do, say, 10 years ago? Is it a recovery? Is it more of a focus on the mental side of things? What's your kind of personal strategy towards wellness now versus, say, what you did 10 years ago? Or is there anything that you do currently that you didn't do 10 years ago that's more geared towards wellness?
Yeah, I think probably what I do now is a bit more balanced. Wellness, the difference, I do more non-exercise stuff now. And I don't mean to sound lazy, that's certainly not what I mean by that. But when you work in what we work in, sometimes a run can feel like work. Even if it's your own run, it can still feel like work, right? Because it's health and it's what you do all day, every day. And sometimes looking at the bike, but jumping on the turbo train or heading out for a cycle, it's just not what you need. So for me, it's surrounding myself with my other interests and trying wellness in that. So for example, I take guitar lessons. I do one session a week with my teacher. I switch off for half an hour. I let him take the, it's like what I do with PT. I just switch off. I let him tell me what to do. And it's great. I'm immersed myself in that and then the homework that he, so I have other, I kind of, wellness for me is now broader. Wellness for me is spending time with my family. It's going for a walk, going to the park, kicking a ball around. It's going, it's just a bit more balanced. It's and sometimes it's watching a really good box set, or it's just doing something non-exercise based. And I found that's been really good. But previously, when I was younger, it was just all encompassing. It was all like, you know, it was either all or nothing, and it was all I did. And then I'd burn out or not finish a race because I was burnt out or whatever. And I think as you mature, as you get older, and if anything, Racer in Ireland taught me that. It was the first kind of big event that I'd done as when I was being a little bit older, is that the maturity that comes with it to recognize, okay, I need to cycle today, or I need to run today, or I need to sit down and have a cup of tea and just chill and just read a book for half an hour. So I think wellness for me has probably become broader now than it would have been when I was younger, big time. And I think I'm all the better for it.
Did that mindset shift you mentioned there, kind of as you got older and more mature, did that mindset shift towards that balance and wellness, was it just something that happened naturally with time, or was there a race, or was there an event, or was there a moment where it was like, you know, I can't do it like this anymore? Or was it just something that gradually came with time?
Yeah, if I'm really honest about that, it's considering it's apt considering where you live. I tried 2 years in succession to run the Connemara 100. And the first time I tried it, I got to 86 and bailed with hypothermia. And you're just beyond Ballinahinch, between Ballinahinch and Roundstone. And I know Ray, who organized the event really well. And I was doing I'm not athletic, okay? So like, I'm not naturally to run, or to stay fit and to stay slim. And it takes me a lot of work to do that. And to run, it takes me even more work. I run quite awkwardly. So I'm not a natural, but it was just something that caught my attention. Geez, wouldn't it be amazing? You've done these things. It wouldn't be amazing to run 100 miles. Could you imagine that's four marathons. How does that look? And in my obsessive kind of way, I got stuck into the first one. And, you know, I think now looking back on it, had I been a bit older, I probably would have finished it because I would have had a bit more maturity. The second one I went back, I was sixth starting the race. I got to mile 50 in Lanan. I spewed everywhere. And was in the hospital within about an hour after that. And it was kind of after that when I kind of put myself back together a little bit and say, what's going on here? What are you up to? And prior to that, I'd done a couple of Ironmans. I finished a few of them and didn't finish two of them. And it was the same kind of thing. It was like I was on like a conveyor belt of obsessiveness, which was like race, burnout, DNF, recover, race, burnout, DNF, recover. There was a lot, so I just kind of stepped back and said, you know what, this is not cool, this is not good. And then it took me probably 4 years to build up to another big event, which was Race Around Ireland, which is a 2,500 k bike race and a team of three. And then we lost a fella, it was a team of four, we lost a guy before we started, and then we lost another fella down in Kerry, and it was two men at home all the way from there, 1 hour on, 1 hour off. It was great crack, it was mental, but it was brilliant. But I could really see the maturity that, like, we had so much stuff that happened on that event that we had every excuse to quit. We had every viable excuse to walk away. Like, for example, for 3 weeks to go, one of the guys dropped out. We trained as a team of four all the way through, and we mapped out our spreadsheets and it's a nonstop event over four. You've been cut off of 4 days. So we said, okay, let's go for it with three. And we did that. And then one of our teammates got injured down in Kerry. And that was literally the end of day two at about 2 a.m. We've been racing for 2 days. And you're like, right, what do you do now? And your race manager starts saying, what do you want to do? And had I been in my 20s, I think I probably would have said, okay, well, there's no way we can make it. We can't do it. The other guy who's on our team is an ex-Special Forces guy. And he's tough and he's hard. He's a tough, tough guy. He's amazing. And we kind of looked at each other. I mean, A, we nearly cried, and then B, we said, screw it, let's just go for it. We came out of Khmer, and then we were literally 1 hour on and 1 hour off, and then we had a car crash. Our support guy crashed the car with one of us in it in Wexford on the morning of day four. At about 5 a.m, he fell asleep at the wheel, and we kind of got out of the car and looked at each other. I'm like, is this meant to be? And anyway, we kept going. That's a long answer, but like it's maturity. I think I've matured, and I think that comes with age and life experience. My personality generally will be one of all in or nothing, and I've matured a little bit now with that. Actually, I think that just comes with age in some regard.
Yeah, I totally get that type A personality, that all or nothing. I think all constantly striving to get to the middle of the spectrum with the balance is the goal. So I love hearing stories about, you know, the way you've been, Carol, and how you're coming out the other side, because even personally, it supports me massively as someone that has a tendency to go all in and then worry about the consequences later. I'm curious, because I know this will help a lot of people listening. Why didn't you quit? Everything was going against Xi. The environment, the universe, whatever it was sending everything your way. Why didn't you quit? What was the thing?
To be honest, that I don't know. I really don't. I was just like, it was just different. It was like, this is where it was a real sense of step back and look at the world. So that when your man crashed the car, that was at 6:30 in the morning on day four. And before 7 o'clock in the morning, you have to have your support car with you. That's how it works. So we thought the race was over. Then we said, look, in half an hour, we can actually cycle without the support car and give them time to fix it. And then, I don't know. Part of it was the support. I think doing it with someone as strong as Simon was, I think we bounced off each other really, really well. But it was a sense of self-belief. And even since that, doing a solo marathon in May during COVID, training all the way through with the 2K restrictions and the 5K restrictions and all that, and no matter how boring it got, everything just steps back to, it can't be any worse than what we did on Race Around Ireland. It just can't. It just, you know, so it gives you a great sense of belief then. And my wife was at home. We had a baba on the way. And there was also almost a sense of you know, you're going to be a dad soon. You can't be with this guy who just quits all the time when things get really bad. You have to kind of, you know, so there was also a sense of that in the background of it, I think, too. And thankfully we did finish it, and I think we're the only team who's gone from 4 to 2 to still finish in RII history, so I'm still very proud of that.
That's amazing. Fair play. Like, it just shows as well the power of your why in terms of, you know, as you said, a baba coming along and using that to drive you. Do you find, Carol, when you're working with people, either Operation Transformation, personal training, online, one-to-one, do you find that the people that do the best or get the biggest transformations are the people that have a stronger why or a reason for doing it? Or do you see another common trend with success stories of the people you work with?
Yeah, I think you're on the money there. I think the why is the biggest is the biggest predictor of change. I think if your why is strong enough and with the right advice, you can do anything. And I think if you're listening in, you want to make a change in your life, whether it's weight loss or whatever, it doesn't matter what it is. The why has to be the why has to be strong enough to overcome when things get tough, and they will get tough no matter what you take on. I think the why has to be stronger than any excuses, and spending a little bit of time looking for your why is the biggest thing. So with PT, that's what I would spend some time with people before we start. And I don't charge them for it and have a chat and just try to figure out why they're getting in touch, and to make sure that, yeah, they're getting in touch and they're ready to do it. And if I don't think they are ready to do it, I'd be mature enough to say, look, don't waste your money. Don't spend it with me, because I think you need to go and do some work on why you want to make these changes, because we can do it. But to really make it work, you've got to be in the right headset. So that you're totally right there. That the why is the most important part of any challenge. No matter how big or small that challenge is, you have to really want to do it.
Yeah, I think any success story, whether it's, you know, weight loss or running a marathon or a race around Ireland or, you know, even running a 5K, whatever the goal, it's completely relative to the person. I think you need to know why you're doing it in the first place. You know, weight loss is a great example. We've talked about this when I was on your podcast, that, you know, you need to know why you're doing it. I'm like, I want to lose 5 pounds isn't a good enough why, but, you know, I want to be able to run around with my kids and have energy. I'm like, that's a stronger why. I was like, you're probably going to do better with that. I'm curious, Carol, because of the content you come in, you're really interactive with the people who follow you online. Obviously, the growth and the amount of people you've had on the podcast and getting feedback coming left, right, and center. But one of the things that I love about you through the podcast and through your social media is you keep things simple. And I think that's where a lot of people fall down, is they overcomplicate health, wellness, fitness, everything in that aspect. Is there any common trend that you see on either social media or from feedback on the podcast that people are just completely overcomplicating when it comes to health, wellness, or fitness, or a combination of the three?
Yeah, so as a brand, that, you know, that's my brand, purely because that's what I'm interested in, and that's the reason I suppose I do it that way. It's because that's what I want to know. I have a sports science degree. I'm intrigued by science, but, you know, my followers don't really care. That what they want to know is, you know, what do I need to do to lose weight? What do I need to do to get fit? Or, you know, they want simple, usable information. And I think that for me, that's what I do. I think people are confused. I think that it's a minefield of information. And I think you and I may not see it, or other PTs may not see it, because we're into it and we're totally obsessed with it and intrigued by it. But if you're the beginner who's at home, who's trying to lose 3 or 4 stone because they're getting out of breath when they're walking up the stairs, it's a really scary place to look, because you're being targeted all the time. So it is, I think it is kind of confusing. Podcast-wise, we, like yourself, aim to have very varied guests on from all kinds of stuff, because it's really interesting. And my role when I'm as the presenter is just to pick their brains and ask them the simple questions and hopefully get a simple answer. And sometimes that can be really difficult for people, because they feel that by making the answer complicated, it makes them more powerful or more knowledgeable. It doesn't actually. It just confuses everybody else. So I think for me, making fitness accessible and simple is the most important thing I do. And like in terms of Operation Transformation, that's a platform. It's an amazing platform for a start, but B, it's a platform where you're getting to talk to people all around the country about your message, but your message has to be so simple that anyone can understand it. And it's a really good lesson in looking at your message. And it's all the work that nobody sees. And you've done some TV, so you'll know that you put so much work into getting your messaging right and getting all your content right and making it whatever. But no one sees that. They just see whatever you say. You know, they'll see a throwaway comment that makes it into the edit. But I think health has to be simple. I think we've seen what we've tried to do over the last 20, 30 years, yet obesity rates are still going up. They're still good. They haven't stopped, no matter. And the simpler we can make it, the more impactful it's going to be. And whether that's on a government level, whether that's on a social media level from trainers or whatever. But I think simple is where it's at, unless you specifically want the scientist. And if you want to work with a scientist, there's loads of them that I would recommend to work with in terms of trainers or in terms of professors or whatever. And they love that because it's super complicated, super detailed. And there is that niche, but if you're that person, you're always going to be fit. You're not the person that we're concerned about in terms of the healthcare system going forward, which is buckling anyway, but it's going to buckle even more as we get heavier and more unfit. So they're the people who need to get moving. And I think by making the message simple and also beginning, so like Instagram gives you that. It's interesting. It gives people that access to you. Like we do the Q&A thing on a Sunday, or I do on a Saturday. And you know, you could have a couple of hundred questions, and it's great because it's a great crack, but it also gives you real insight into what people want to know. And you'll see the same themes coming into that each time the question thing goes up, whether it's calories in, calories out, or whether it's, weight loss, obviously it's burning off stomach fat. There's all very common themes, and that'll drive the podcast. So that'll drive the topics that we cover. It'll drive content that I'll post or look at, because you get a really good insight into what your market actually want to know about. And then you go and tailor it to that. And then people start, people like it.
Our podcast on how to banish belly fat, I got the nicest messages from people off the back of that. So just as a public thank you to you, for your audience came over my way off the back of that, because they're like, I really like how you put that. And I'm like, well, Carol asked great questions. I'm like, I was just trying to put it across in another way, because all I think you're doing, Carol, I'm doing, other people who are very similar with their messages, we're just trying to make it a little bit more simple for people and not overcomplicate something that it's about finding what's going to be the best fit for the individual, which kind of, I want to pull it back, because you mentioned there about, you know, the person that has the 3 stone to lose. And I know you work a lot with those people, 3, 4, 5 stone. What generally, and I don't want to ask you a question that to give a one size fits all answer to something I know for a fact, the way you work with people, that you would give a contextual individualized answer to, but what would you say would be the first step for, say, Mary, who is 3 stone to lose? What would be the first thing you would get her to focus on if weight loss was her goal?
Yeah, so we do work with a lot of people in that bracket. And the first and foremost is we reflect. So we actually look backwards before we do anything. And we do that 3 half-an-hour chat and say, what's the crack? You know, what are you getting in touch for? What have you done before? What's worked? What hasn't worked? What do you like? What do you hate? Tell me about your lifestyle. What do you do at work? Do you travel? Do you commute? Do you not commute? And by reflecting, I get a really good sense of how that person's life looks and what tools I need to bring to the table to make those changes. Then it's building a program around that is doable for a start. So from a food perspective, I just get people to eat healthy. And that sounds like a really basic answer, but that's all I do. It's no tighter than that. Getting people eating three meals a day with two snacks, eating every 3 hours, eating real foods and cooking more, more fluid, obviously. I guess to do the accountability component by sending food diaries over every night or every second night, depending on what they need. And then movement-wise, it's finding movement they enjoy and making it generally free as much as possible. So walking, running, hill walking, cycling, swimming, if that's what they want. And then topping that up with PT. I suppose my PT is different to a lot of people in the fact that sometimes when people inquire, they say, oh, I want to do three sessions a week. And I'm like, well, actually you don't, because what happens there is, unless, you know, you really, really want to do it, I'll do it. But generally what happens there is after a period of time, your three sessions a week might last for, I don't know, 2 months, 3 months, maybe. It's expensive for a start. And what you're doing there is you're relying on me to get the results. And when you meet, when myself and the client work together, when the PT and the client works together, the results are there. And when the PT stops with the client, the results go. So I generally work with people once a week, and I'll give them homework in between the 7 day time frame for the session. And the homework's built around stuff that they enjoy. So at no time do they feel that it's a chore or it's incredibly difficult, because it's stuff they like and it's stuff they want to do, but they just need someone to give them a bit of a guidance in terms of doing it. And then the final piece is measurement. So they measure once a week, same time, same day, generally on the day of the session. There's a brand of scales that I get them to buy, which gives us reasonably accurate muscle, fat, and water content. So it's looking at the impact of what they've done over the course of the 7 days in terms of the measurement. And we just keep, you know, building up and taking it week by week by week. So that's how I tend to operate. I find it works really well because, A, people stay with me for a long time. So most of my clients will stay with me for 12 months and beyond because it's one session a week. But more so than that, the results stay off because they've worked it off over time with graft and eating healthy. It's not a quick fix. It's not a rapid solution. It takes time. And people, the results tend to stay in the long term because they've done it the right way. And they've also found stuff that they love to do. And that's the, you know, from anyone's perspective, exercise has to be enjoyable. If it's not enjoyable, you're not going to do it, no matter who or how strong you are. It's got to be fun. And that's normally how we would approach weight loss with a client. And we work hard. We do it nicely. I don't scream and shout at people. I'm far too old for that. And plus, people don't want it. It's just having a chat and letting people talk it out if they're an issue or a problem during the week. Talk it out and move on with it. And so they finish the session feeling positive and motivated for the following week.
Two things jump out at me there. One is the how you're molding it to people's lifestyle, that it's very much right, getting all the information about the person on the front end and then kind of tailoring it based on their lifestyle, what they like, what they enjoy. I love that approach. But the other thing that jumped out at me, Carl, was the when you mentioned the three PT sessions a week, that you might do that for a month, 2 months, and then you can drop off. And if you're not with the PT, you can lose the results, which comes down to kind of the empowerment of the client, that if they feel all the powers of the PT, they get results while they're with the PT, but then it drops off after that. How do you empower the people you work with in terms of how do you get them to take ownership or take control or take responsibility for it? Do you have any approach for that, or is it something that kind of happens naturally through the way that you work as a trainer?
Yeah, it just tends to happen. It happens because they begin to become self-motivated. So the motivation initially is internal. They want the change. My job is the external initially. And then naturally, I end up doing less in terms of external motivation, and they become more internally motivated as they feel better, as their energy improves, as their results improve, as they begin to lose weight and their body tones up. The more they get that, and the more they get that when they've done it properly and they've done most of the work themselves, the better they become. So they begin to self-motivate then, which is always the best thing. It's fantastic to see. It's brilliant. And it just tends to happen. Because the key thing for me is someone spends their hard-earned cash with me, that I want them, if I meet them in a year, you know, 2 years time, a year's time, two, three, whatever, I want to ensure that they've kept the results going, that they have that, whatever work we did together, that A, they've kept that result and hopefully gone on to do, you know, more stuff or even maintain that. And thankfully, that's kind of where we sit in the market. A lot of the fitness market works off that, you know, 30-day model or the 4-week model, where it's chicken and broccoli for 4 weeks and training three times a week for 4 weeks with HIIT sessions in on top of that. And yes, you will get amazing results. Of course you will. But like, 2 months down the line, chances are you've gone back. For most people, chances are you've gone back, and you've gone back to your old ways because it's just too hard. And certain people can keep that up. The market that I work with, that's not their thing. It's about being healthy for life, and it's about keeping those results going in the long term. And that's what we try and help them to do.
Yeah, I love that approach, that sustainability angle, and you're so tuned into your market. I love how you know exactly how it is that best serves them. Carol, I just have two more questions. One is very much a personal one for me as someone that listens to your podcast. I was listening to the one with was it Dr. Jason Fung?
Yeah, about
the fasting. I was like, I've read his book. I've read his book on fasting, his audiobook. I listened to it about a year ago. So I was really enjoying that podcast, just kind of an update on some of those things. But I'm curious, because you have such a wide scope of people covering everything in the world of wellness, health, fitness, what's the biggest thing, or the biggest, maybe you want to pick one or two things on this, what's the biggest thing you've learned from interviewing people on the podcast? And the reason I ask that is because I know I've changed my mind about a million things over the course of, you know, 300 podcasts now, that it's completely different to what my outlook was on health, fitness, and wellness and mindset, even from 2016 when I started. Is there anything in particular that jumps out at you that has completely shifted your mindset or your approach towards anything, either in your personal life or your approach as a personal trainer, because of the interviews you've done on the podcast?
There's a question. These are firing all the hard questions at me today.
I've given Carol no prep, great. Just to give everyone context. So I appreciate it, Carol.
No, it's fantastic. It's great. And I love it. It's great to be interviewed with like this, because it really forces you to kind of, you know, properly think about it. So I suppose the first thing I would say there is when I kicked it off, I was all about, you know, being the showy presenter. Not the show, that's totally do myself a disservice. Of just being the presenter, you know, and kind of showing that I can present, because you've got to make that shift from being the PT fella to being all of a sudden someone people listen to. That was an issue, that was the thing, right? That was my big thing. And I've got to, you know, I have a slight lisp of a lazy tongue when I get tired. And I've always been very conscious of that. And it was important for me to prove that I actually could present it, and I really believe that. Anyway, so I suppose that one of the key things I've learned is to listen, actually. I think you learn far more by listening to your guests and listening to the people around you and listening to your clients than you do by being the brash kind of person, you know, by being forward all the time. And as PTs, I think generally as an image, PTs are quite forward. And I think actually for me, it was about listening and listening to the person. We, you know, and that was a really big thing. And I learned that quite quickly, because just by just shutting up and just letting people talk, people are fascinating. People are so interesting. And it was a really big learning curve. And the best interviews I do are the ones that I talk the least. I literally just sit there and just steer the. I might ask, like Jerry Hussey, for example. I think I asked Jerry four questions in the space of 45 minutes or 40 minutes, maybe, because the guy just talk, and you can do that. It's not that he can talk, but he can talk really good content. And I think a really good interviewer just sits back and says, "Okay, go for it. This is your stage. Knock yourself out," and just steers it so the listener pulls what they want from it. So I suppose that was the first thing. In terms of the people that I've chatted to, I love Mary Kennedy and I love Micheál Omar-Hertzig. I'm fascinated by people who've lived really interesting lives. I love having those kind of lessons of life people on, not necessarily just the experts, but, you know, these people, just like to Micheál Omar-Hertzig, like he's 80 something now. He's an amazing man. Just to sit in his company alone is really impressive, but just learning from them and saying, you know what, you know, if you took it back years, you know, a couple hundred years ago, the elders were the wise ones in the village, and you had a problem, you asked them, you learned from them. And I think a lot of people have skipped that now. They think that they're the experts and that they're almost the elder one. And the fact that you're not, like the elders know, you know, people have been around for a long time, who've lived through lots of things and who have managed to come out of it in good shape and healthy and well. They've got more to teach us than anything. I love chatting to those people. I'm recording a few of them tomorrow for the next batch of podcasts. And I just love chatting to people. And people are incredible. And I love learning from people who have had really interesting lives. One of the things we have started to do is expand into kind of the international guests a little bit more. So the likes of Jason Fung, we've had James Nestor with regards to breathing. He was really interesting. And the breathing thing came from Dermot Whelan, another guest we had called Claire Walsh Life, who's a free diver. Amazing woman. Good God, amazing. Like, she free dives underwater for like 6 minutes. You're like, what, how does that happen? How do you even, where do you even begin to do that? And I suppose for me, the other big, like the, I suppose the big thing, the other big learning curve finally is around, you know, there are people in the world who are experts and what, listen to them, because sometimes it can be, you know, PTs can be kind of all knowing. Oh, I know, we don't know everything. And the more you realize and you move on, move over your ego a little bit and say, I don't know everything, but I'm dying to learn. And I want to find out and pick the brains of all these other experts. And the podcast gives you the beauty to do that. It gives you, you get these people on who know their topic inside out. They know their area of expertise inside out. And you can just sit back for half an hour and just listen and just take it all in. And I've enjoyed it. I've loved the challenge of getting it up and running, but also just the scope of guests that we have on. It's just really interesting. People are incredible. And I love just chatting to them and trying to pick their brains.
Did you ever have a speechless moment from anybody to the point that they said something and you were just like, whoa, any of those moments happened? I've had a few of them on my podcast. I'm just curious if it's happened on your side.
I had one, and I think it's the only episode we've never released, and I won't name the person. I got a DM from somebody who was an international guest. He said, I really love to come on your podcast. Here's what I do, and I think I'd be great. I think the first question I asked him, I think his answer was yes. And the second question I asked him, I think his answer was no. And the third question, his answer was maybe, probably yes and no. It was something like that. And at that stage, I was like, uh-oh. Here I, you know, and it's really difficult to turn around to someone and say, we actually can't put that out. So that was, in a weird way, that was a speechless moment. So we learned from that, which is to put even more research into our guest than we already did. He seemed very confident on social, but that was about the height of it. Once we got chatting, you're like, oh. And we see that every now and again. So every now and again, we'll get influencers on or people with big, big followings. And actually, when it comes to health, they can't quite deliver. And I'm always fascinated by that. I think if someone asks you for three top tips, if you're in the health space, you should know what those three top tips are, or, you know, you should be able to talk about things like that. And every now and again, we realize that that sometimes they can't. They might be great on social media, but actually when you get chatting to them, they just don't have the content.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I've had it on both sides now that you say that, because when I think speechless, I'm like, you hear some stories from people and you're like, wow, it's like, I can't believe that happened. You know, just crazy things that people have done. But then you have the other side where you're speechless from the sense that you actually can't have the conversation, which is really interesting. Which brings me on to the last thing, Carol. As I said, I'm a massive fan of what you do. I love how you break things down into its simplest form for people. I think the podcast is great. I love the wide range of guests in particular. So for those of you who aren't subscribed to Carol's podcast, Real Health with Karen Henry, definitely check that out at the end of today's episode. I'll link it in the show notes. But Carol, the last question, and it might be something business related, it might be something fitness, health related, wellness related, personal life, but what are you most excited about right now?
I'm excited by life, generally, actually, to be honest with you. I think people's use of online has grown. I suppose the impact of what I can do. I wake up every day. Well, that sounds a bit American. I wake up every day with this plan. But I don't. Every year I put a plan together of what I want to do. But from the get-go of my business has always been, I just want to tell people about health. That's all I really want to do. I just want to tell people how they can get healthier and make a bit of a difference. I think we all want to do that in life. You want to make a difference somewhere along the line. And that's what I want to do. That's what I've always wanted to do. And I've been really lucky. God, whether it's PT or whether it's media stuff or the TV show or whatever, the books and stuff, I've been amazing. I've been incredibly lucky. And every now and again, sitting over COVID, you look at that, Jesus, like how, you just look back. It's a bit mad, you know? And if anything, I think people's use of online has increased the audience profile or the amount of people I can talk to. And we've seen that with the corporate work that I do. We do kind of big internal corporate programs for companies. Like, we're doing sessions now where previously I would have had to go to the court, to the company. People would have to leave their desk to go to the session. So you might have, whatever, 200-300 people in the room. Or now, like, we did a Couch to 5K launch last week. I had 1,100 people in on the Zoom session for the launch. Like, you'd never get that. You just could just, and that's across three different countries. You wouldn't be able to get that in real life. So I think health is your audience has got bigger, which is amazing, but also the role which we have to play has become bigger than ever before. And I think if you can give people that content simply, usably, and that it works, I think we have an incredible role to try and help people through this. And by doing that, we help ourselves. Like, for example, this week I'm off PT. It's the first time I haven't PT'd since June, I think, maybe, when we went away for a week. But I'm home. I'm doing loads of other work. But I'm kind of like a lost puppy. I'm kind of floating around the house, not really, you know, not PTing. And it's just really, really strange. The work that I do keeps me focused. It keeps me positive. It gives me a reason to stay positive. And the less actually work I do, the harder that becomes. I'm not sure what that says about my personality, but I think health is an amazing space. And if you're listening in, and you know, anytime you and I talk, we tell each other how great we are, and that's good. It's great. It's but if anyone's listening in, you know, PTs and health, anyone in health, any dietitian, your physio, strength and conditioning coach, whatever. You've got the chance to help people more than ever before. And I think we've a chance to help people get through stuff that they're not going to be able to get through without our help. I'm not trying to big each other up, but I just think as an industry, we've probably become the most important industry in the country. I think it's that important. And just from what we're seeing already, we potentially have 12 months of this ahead, if not more, before we get some semblance of normality back. I think no matter what part of the world you live in, whether it's Connemara, whether it's Dublin or wherever, I think you've got to look around you. You've got to try and be that beacon for people in terms of getting maybe a walking group together or an exercise group or being amongst, you know, a WhatsApp group with your friends. I think that we have a really big role here just to really help people. So life is, in terms of what does the future look like, the future is exciting. It really is. It's changing all the time. But for me, it's, you know, I suppose it's what the last 20, 22 years has come to. And now I feel that more mature, that bit older, you can post stuff on Instagram, like you're saying, you know, love yourself and be happy with who you are. You've lived that. You've gotten through the doubtful phase, which is the early 30s. We're like, oh, I don't know anything. Or people second guess me, whatever. You come through that. And now I'm that bit old. I'm like, you know what? That's cool. So I think all the experience that we have is really going to kick in now. And I think people are really going to look for help. And I think we have a responsibility to not just to our followers or anything, but just to people generally, you know, help them out. You've got the skills and the tools. We've been trained for years to do this. And I think this is now our time to really make a difference in people's lives. And you've seen that in a slightly negative sense, in the fact that there's lots of gyms around the country breaking the level 3 guidelines. I've seen tons of them. I'm not going to name any of them. It's on their conscience. But, you know, exercise is addictive and there is a sense of then people need it to get through. But you've got to do it within the guidelines. You've got to follow the rules. You and I are chatting, you know, virtually. I'm not in Connemara. You're not in Dublin. And that's because we're adhering to the guidelines. And I think that's really important. You've got to back the government and you've got to follow the government. But you also got to help people out as much as you can. So I think the future is really exciting. I'm an optimist by trade, as are you, but I think we have a really interesting year ahead where we can help a lot of people. And I think they're going to need that help, which is necessary and exciting at the same time. And I'm kind of revved up and ready to, you know, after my week off, particularly ready to go.
That reminds me so much of a quote. One of my mentors used to always tell me that, you know, you find yourself when you lose yourself in the service of others. Like, that's exactly what that reminds me of. Like, if you're struggling with anxiety, uncertainty, your mental health right now, it's like, well, go do something that helps other people. And I think, Carol, your platforms between the podcast and social media, it shows it between the random acts of kindness, the looking after the things within your control with your mental health, your physical health. I think it's just so important right now that people double down on that, especially over the next 12 months. Carol, I can't thank you enough for your time, for everything you do to keep spreading the positivity out there. I think the internet is a better place for your message. But can you tell everybody listening where is the best place for them to connect with you, either to potentially work with you or follow you online? Is it the podcast, Instagram, website? Give all those links now and I will link them in the show notes for today's episode.
Yeah, well, look, hopefully people enjoyed the two of us catching up. I know I certainly do. I get a huge amount of positivity when we chat. I always come off the session feeling really good about life in general. If people want to follow me, it's at Carl Henry PT Twitter and Instagram. Twitter less so now after, yeah. After our chat. It's mainly Instagram. It's carlhenry.ie is the website. Podcast is Real Health Podcast. We launch every Thursday with that. We have to. And then obviously we have Operation Transformation coming up in January. So keep an eye out for that. You will see, this is year 14, you'll see a bigger and better and more important program than we've ever put together. We're just starting to work on it now. And if they like any of the stuff that they've heard, they can certainly check me out and follow me. And hopefully they'll like some of the content.
Amazing. And for everybody listening, I will link everything that Carl just mentioned in the show notes on briankeenfitness.com and in the description wherever you're listening to podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher. Carl, thank you so much again. Keep inspiring, mate, and keep killing it.
Thanks, Brian. Cheers, buddy.
There you have it, Carl Henry on keeping weight loss simple and focusing on real health. Also, this is the first time I mentioned it on the podcast. Might be worth adding for podcast listeners if you got it this far. On my email list, in my email newsletter, I've been sending out my 3 takeaways from every podcast episode that I've recorded for the last few weeks. So to subscribe for that, just head over to briankeenfitness.com, go into the scroll to the bottom of the homepage and pop your email into the newsletter section. And every Thursday, I'm sending out my top 3 takeaways. So next week's episode or next week's newsletter will be my 3 takeaways from today's episode. I let it process for a couple of days and then I send that out with all the timestamps and links and kind of a little bit of an interpretation of what I got from the podcast. So definitely check that out. Subscribe to my newsletter on the website, briankeenfitness.com. And that's everything from today's episode. A massive thank you again to today's sponsors, Clean Cut Meals. If you are looking to up your game in terms of your meal prep and save yourself time and stick to good, healthy, clean foods, definitely go check them out in the link in the description, cleancutmeals.ie. And yeah, if you enjoyed today's episode, hit that follow button, hit that subscribe button for episodes coming every single Monday. Catch you all next week. Out Clean Cut Meals on cleancutmeals.ie. You can also use that code BrianK20 for 20% off your first time order, as I mentioned in the introduction. So that's everything from today's episode. Hopefully you enjoyed. Catch you all next Monday.